Welcome, everyone. Dirk, would you mind giving the opening prayer?
Yes, sir. Our Father who art in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity to meet and to discuss Deer Springs and the common association elements of the ranch. We pray that thou help us to have an effective meeting. Pray that thou help us in making good decisions and keeping things moving forward at the ranch. We pray that thou watch over those that are at the ranch to keep them safe and free from accident and harms while they're working at the ranch. And these things we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dirk. Okay, we're going to do roll call. I'm Brent Fulmer, lot 117.
Larry Clarkson, 76.
Barry Clarkson, 173.
Dirk Clayson, 116.
Mike McNichols, 270.
Dan Wirt, 28.
Jeff Ventino, 121.
Michael Jordison, 67.
Joan Smith, 269.
Vance Green, 156.
Joe Bose, I see, sure you're there.
I'll include Joe in the list. He's probably working on his mute or something. Anyway.
All right. Well, Barry, if you want to discuss the and it should read November meeting minutes, not October. If you want to discuss that, and then while you already have the Zoom, talk about the logistics on the waiver we discussed.
Okay. Yep. I'd be happy to. So. The board meeting minutes have been presented to each of the members of the board for review, and I haven't received any comments or updates or questions or concerns. I'm not sure if it's possible for me to share my screen and show them to the membership, but no. This is really a decision for the board anyway. Does anybody have any questions on the meeting minutes for the November meeting before we call for a vote?
The only thing I noticed was after Kate Hawk's name in the roll call, there was a Lynn, and I don't know if that was just a glitch.
Let me pull it up here real quick and see, and then I can answer that question. Let's see. That's probably just a typo error that's left over, so I'll make that correction. Any other questions on the meeting minutes for November?
I would make a motion that we accept the minutes as corrected.
All right, I've got Larry down for the motion.
All second. Dirk.
Dirk second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Looks like the meeting minutes are adopted unanimously. And Vance, I'm not sure if you or Danielle are the ones that posted on, but I will sign them while we're in this meeting and email a copy on the stream, and I can include you, Vance, if that's necessary to get them posted to the website.
Yeah, Barry, thanks. Usually, they get shuttled through Danielle so that okay. She gets a copy too. So no problem. As soon as I get them from her, they go up.
Okay, I will. I'll send them to the board email address that includes Danielle, and then if there's an issue, we'll move on from there.
Yeah, these days most of the times they don't even get to me because somebody else puts them up. So you know, either way, they get up pretty fast.
Well, we appreciate your efforts in the past either way, and so I'll get that taken care of.
Fair enough.
The next thing that Brent asked me to discuss, I've talked and we've talked as a board, and I talked a little bit with Danielle. Unfortunately, she's not on today, but we are in the process of putting together the plan, and she, through Larry, has indicated she has a way to send out the waiver that we discussed at length during this last year. It will go out hard copy with the bills, but she should be able to send out an email to the membership with an electronic signature spot on there so that obviously the members' emails will go directly to the members, and we'll be gathering signatures that way for those that find it easier to sign electronically. And then when they are due, which I believe is in March, then we will also do an audit and go through and verify. Well, we will as they come in, but we'll want to verify that the actual owners of each lot have signed the waiver. And then she has put together a plan for reminder notices to follow up, because since this is the first year we're going through this, I expect there to be a certain amount of follow-up in making sure that we get everybody's documents signed and back in, and I will assist her in that. And we may call on others to help make sure that that process is smooth and works so that we can use it over and over again in years to come. Are there any questions on that process or how that might work?
Barry, this is Danielle, just wanting to clarify. I will not be sending out a hard copy with the mailed dues. It will be a electronic link, but if people would like to print that and not do the electronic, they can mail it that way, but it will be mailed to them. They will have the option to print it and sign and send it back in.
Well,
the rest can just...
Thank you for that information, but I'm concerned with some of our members, one in particular that doesn't know how to click print. So is the not sending it out with the physical bill, is that a matter of postage? Is that a matter of just not wanting to go to the cost of printing them out? Tell me why we wouldn't send out a hard copy as well.
Mostly printing and to encourage them to be done electronically so we're not getting back a bunch of hard copies.
Well, I'll leave it to others to discuss, but I would prefer that we actually, and I'll even go to the cost of doing the printing. I would prefer to have that option for our members that may or may not be as computer savvy as they probably should be. There's lots of them that can't that are going to require a hard copy one way or the other.
Okay.
Any thoughts from anybody else?
I agree.
Yeah, Danielle, this is Mike, and I would be happy to assist you in terms of, like, folding the papers and stuffing envelopes and all that kind of stuff, because we're local in Kanab, so I'd be happy to help you with the manual part of getting that done.
Thank you.
And I'm volunteering my wife as well.
You're a brave man, Mike.
She loves it.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns there? Unfortunately, it's just going to be a process that we're going to have to go through and work. And I'm happy to help. I'm happy to help whatever we need to do to get those to give us the maximum possibility of getting responses sooner. And Danielle, if scanning them or creating an electronic file from the hard copy we receive back, I can take care of that for you. You don't even need to worry about it.
Barry, this is Dan.
Yes.
the forms that will be sent out, either hard copy or electronic, will they ask for certain information who is the title holder for this lot? Both the printed name and signature, and in the case of trusts, the name of the trust and who is the authorized representative of the trust.
Yeah, so I think I can address that. So they will be going out to the owners. We already know who the legal owners are. Your question, I think, related to LLCs, corporations, and trusts. With trusts, then they have to be, the property has to be owned by the name of the, by the authorized trustees. So it should be pretty simple on trusts to determine who's an authorized signer for a trust. For an LLC or a corporation, it's a little more challenging, but we'll provide a signature line that says, that identifies the name of the LLC or corporation, and we'll ask them to provide their title as related to that entity. So, but again, Danielle, before those go out, we want to make sure that we have the right type of information included on the signature lines. But I think we can address that.
So, signatures are frequently problematic, and I know that in my own profession. So the form should also ask for a printed name.
They will.
Yes, that will be part of it, so that we can clearly see who. For that purpose, it's actually also helpful if we can get as many as possible electronically, because they have to identify and type in. It's not just a signature, but will provide us with an electronic signature, which will include a printed name. So it's actually better if we can get people to execute and sign them electronically, send them back, because it gives us a lot more information than what they might write on the form. And there may be some follow-up on some of those if writing's illegible or something like that, if they only send us a paper copy, which is not a problem if we can get them to do it electronically.
Yes, I understand that, and of course also a date.
Yes, yep, that will all be included. Any other questions or comments on that? All right, Brent, I think you're okay. Back up.
All right, well, thanks, Barry. Mike, you're up. Mike McNichols.
I'm sorry. I was talking away and forgot to hit my unmute button. So thank you, Brent. So for the treasurer's report, things are looking very, very good for 2024. I'll be working with Danielle to try to make sure we get everything wrapped up and finalized and into the P&L for 2024 that we possibly can by the end of the year. So things are looking good. We have a surplus, but there's obviously still more to do and more to come in between now and the end of the year. In terms of the banking side, we have $89,671.47 in our checking account.
Tell me that number again. Sorry, before you go on. Sorry.
Oh, no. And Barry, I'll send you an email with all the numbers if that makes it easier for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll send you an email with the numbers.
Okay.
In savings account number one, we have $3,896.31. Savings number two, we have $1,377.51. And then we have seven separate CDs. Most of them are a little over 10,000 each. One of them is a little over 8,000. When you add all seven together, the total amount that we have set aside in savings in the CDs, which are earning interest, is $70,913.77. So, again, everything is on track. We're looking very good for the year in terms of the P&L. So, anybody have any questions about the information that Danielle sent out?
I just had a real quick question, and that is, have we posted, and I should have looked, but have we posted next year's budget that was approved on the website yet, or is it still yet to be put up?
I don't know the answer to that. I haven't looked. Vance or Danielle, do you know the
answer? It has been posted.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Okay. Perfect. I'll look there to review what we've already approved. Anyway, that's good.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, Brent, back to you.
Okay. I don't see Cody on here. I know they were heading to Colorado, so they might be on the road. So I'll talk about the property manager's report. And, Mike, you can jump in on this because I'm going to talk about the – now, we've been busy, and by we, I mean Jeff and Tina and myself, and we've been taking out those two trees in front of the Comfort Stop and the store. They're unhealthy. The one that we still have yet to take down has a big crack going up the one trunk that's – hanging right over the store. So anyway, we've got the one tree removed. We've removed part of the fence and the bulletin board, and we've got the one tree down, and it's bucked up. And then we're hoping to take the other tree down this next week sometime. So anyway, I'm going to take some pictures today for Barry, and anybody else who's interested, I'll be happy to send pictures to. Things are going to look radically different if you show up out here and you come on the store and it's going where'd the trees go. And the plan right now is to turn the one tree that's on the north into a bench. So, well, I'm planning on cutting it so it's facing the rest of the, where we have the meetings, the outside. And then the other board, or the other trunk, we're cutting off, and we're looking at making it into just a table of sorts. So we don't want to dig them up, because digging them up, those roots probably go in and around and down and around our water lines and our septic lines for the Comfort Stop. And so anyway, and then on the garden cabin, Cody's going to be pulling apart the two bathrooms on the east side of the garden cabin. We've got some water leaks, and we've got some drain issues, and they're still cast and galvanized and poly and copper and PEX. And we're gonna tear that out. We're going to just keep going to the point where we find out. We're pretty sure we got to go down at least to the subfloor and probably maybe even beyond that. That's going to be the major winter project. Mike, did you want to discuss anything else on that?
Yeah, I just thanks, Brent. I just wanted to mention that when we did the list of projects for the cabin committee volunteer work weeks last year, or I should say earlier this year, the project that Brent's talking about, that basically doing a remodel on those bathrooms and the garden cabin, you know, overall needs a major overhaul as well. But those bathrooms are one of the worst problems that we have at the ranch right now. There's been a lot of water that's gone on the floor. Basically, the floor area between the shower and the toilets in all four of the bathrooms in the garden cabin if you step on the floor, it literally sinks down. I mean, it's like the floor is spongy. And I'm surprised that nobody's foot has gone through the floor, because I'm sure the wood underneath there is just totally rotten. So we're going to have to rip all of that flooring out, obviously remove all the plumbing, and the goal is to do two of the bathrooms first, the two that are the worst. We're going to tackle those first and get them up to snuff. And that will tell us how much time it's going to take. It'll tell us how much money it's going to cost. And then we'll decide if we're going to go ahead and tackle the other two bathrooms right away or make other arrangements for that. So it's definitely a huge project that cannot be undertaken during the season, you know, when we're renting out the cabins. So that's why we're going to get it done over the winter. That's it.
Hey, Mike, on those cabins, you know, my experience has been that a lot of times that, you know, historically people have used particle board sheeting and stuff, and I think if we go to plywood sheeting with a hardy board or concrete board over it for the floor, that will put a lot of better life into it.
Well, I appreciate that, and I agree with you that in the past, and I know I've heard Larry say the exact same thing about the J Station. In the past, there have been a lot of repairs that were done, you know, kind of, you know, with duct tape and glue. And we, you know, from now on, you know, my expectation is to do everything that we're going to do properly. You know, we're not subject to code out there, but we need to be acting as if we are. You know, we need to be doing repairs that are going to stand up to the test of time and not have to be redone half a dozen times over the next 20 years.
Yeah, and what I'm suggesting is actually better than code. You know, code doesn't require to have, like, green board, plywood, and hardy board, but I think it will make a big difference to us.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm very thankful that we have Jeff and Tina that are volunteering their time and expertise to help out. Obviously, they did this as their career, as their own business for many, many years. And they have volunteered their time and expertise. In fact, when we were talking to Cody, one of the things that struck me is when we're talking about doing a major remodel project like this, you know, there are two parts of it. The first part is demolition. You got to rip out what's there in order to get down to where you can really see what the problem is and then fix it. And one of the things that Jeff and Tina made very clear to Cody is the fact that when you're doing demolition, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. It's like, you know, you only need to demolish and, you know, damage the things that you're going to be working on. You don't need to damage a bunch of stuff around it that now is just going to add more to the project. So we're going to be very specific, very precise, and make sure we do everything properly with the least amount of effort, the least amount of money needed to get things up to speed. So thanks for that. That's it. If anybody else has any other questions on cabins, I'd be happy to answer them right now.
I'm assuming all the cabins are closed for the winter at this point.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
All right. We're going to move on to water. And Dirk, Barry, and Larry are all going to talk about some of this stuff. But Dirk's over water, and he's going to talk some about the well rehab on the Half Moon Well and the Old Half Moon, and then Barry's going to talk about the Johnny Brown, and Larry's going to talk about the 40K. So go ahead, Dirk.
Okay, on the Half Moon well that Dale had volunteered to pay for, attempting to do some rehab on the well, essentially, because the well is pumping about 5 gallons a minute nowadays, and there are some historical recollections where it pumped anywhere from 15 to some higher amount. And the well company went out there. I think Larry and Brent were there, and they pulled out the current solar pump and put in a bigger pump to basically see if just having a stronger pump would solve the problem, and that didn't make any difference. It essentially would pump the well dry, you know, quickly. And so they ran out of time and stuff to do more work, so they are scheduled to come back, or, well, I shouldn't say scheduled. They, weather permitting, are planning on coming back to work on it some more to try to clean out the well and also the old well that's south of that well, about 150 feet, to see what they can learn about getting one or both of those wells functioning at a higher capacity. That should all be done in time to have the wells working at least in the condition that it was, if not a better condition, by April. And we also had agreed that there would be no work done on the well-filled well at this time, that efforts would be on the Half Moon to learn what was worth doing there. And so that's probably going to push into early spring. And that's it about that.
All right, Dirk. Any questions, anybody?
Another water issue. I can update that the deeds and reports of conveyances are under being worked on for the Johnny Brown water right transfers, and Barry's been doing a good job trying to shepherd that along. There will be an additional $85 fee that the members will need to pay that we didn't originally anticipate, but probably should have, because when we're transferring only partial water rights, the division requires an additional document called a report of conveyance, and they charge an additional $85 fee for that. And that's about it on that. Any other questions there?
Barry, did you have anything to add on that, or is that that's pretty good explanation?
That's the basis, just for 2 minutes worth of education for anybody that cares to know. So forever to transfer water, you'd do a deed, and then you'd do a report of conveyance. And then several years ago, the state decided to do these water right addendums that you attach to the deed. And so they've changed kind of the function of how they do things over the years. And Dirk's right. When we transfer a portion of the water right, then we have to take this extra step of a report of conveyance. It's basically like a deed, but it makes the county record match up with the state record. And it's a cost in making the transfer. So I know that there are some members that expressed displeasure at having to pay the $40 or whatever it was to have the deed recorded and that kind of stuff, and then having an additional fee. But honestly, I was told a few years ago by the Division of Water we wouldn't have to do reports of conveyance anymore, but when we're doing a partial water right, it's required, and it's just part of the deal, and I feel badly, but that's a fee that has to go with whoever receives that portion of water right in order to make the transfer complete. Anyway.
Do you want me to give updates on agriculture, Brent?
Oh, yeah, please do.
So on agriculture, just let you know we did meet the deadlines and got the NRCS grant application submitted for basically all the things that we possibly could do. The NRCS doesn't move forward with specific items until they schedule and come out and do a planning session on the ground, and that as yet has still not been scheduled and may be out a number of months.
So, Dirk, we won't find out about this stuff until they actually come out and do a site visit?
Yeah.
And will that be next spring, or are we?
Well, last time I talked to them, they just said that they were booked out about 3 months. And so I'm guessing it's going to be sometime this winter or this spring. Can't hardly imagine that they could do a lot of good site visit without it being areas that they could see without snow cover. But anyway, that's where we're at. They need to have a planning session, and we included in our grant funding for planning, for weed abatement, water development for the cattle so that we can maybe get out of hauling water, for fence line improvements and for rangeland improvements and for cultivated crop land improvements.
And
more than likely, we won't get all of it in any case. But
and essentially, this is part Deer Springs Ranch, and you're working with Kevin Ballard as part of the. Okay, yeah. One of the things that we had a problem with, and you're already aware of this before on our last one, is there was not a lot of full disclosure. So we're planning on making sure that the membership is fully appraised of what's happening, when it happens, and why it's going on.
Yeah, I don't quite know how we got into that situation before, but in any case, I think we're Kevin and I have talked, and we've both met together with the NRCS and making sure that we wouldn't have that kind of confusion. Just so everybody should know, in Kevin's application, he has included grounds that he uses beyond Deer Springs. And so some of his stuff would have nothing to do with Deer Springs. But anything that has anything to do with Deer Springs, we will be coordinating tightly. And I guess I should also mention yesterday I went to Doug Hunt's funeral, as he passed away the week before. And it was a, really good service, and the Ballards were also there, and lots of information and pictures about Deer Springs Ranch in his information that he had there.
All right. Well, thanks, Dirk. Appreciate it. Larry, did you want to talk about the possibility on the 40K, the Marcos?
Yeah, that's still totally on my sights to accomplish, as long as the weather holds temperature-wise this next week, especially as I move other equipment back down into the headquarters-type area. Go ahead and try to get that Marco Parado connection on the 40,000-gallon tank system installed. So I'll probably coordinate with you, Brent, next Friday, Saturday, on seeing when it'd work to throw that in.
Okay. While you're talking about stuff and moving equipment and everything, you want to touch base on that the road into the headquarters and the you're working on the drainage down there?
Yeah, my plan is to go ahead and install the four big concrete culverts that bring the water that flows down between cabins 9, 10, and 7 and 8. I will be splitting that water flow. Below 7 and 8 will flow to the east and then down behind the ranch house, and I'll do some correction on where it's eroding the field into the Deer Springs Wash. The flow coming west below 9 and 10 will round that corner and then cross the road into what we've historically called the Pollywog Ponds. In doing that, will give me an opportunity to spend a little time possibly with Cody with the Deer Springs grader, learning a little bit how to operate it so he's prepared for, most importantly, snow removal during the winter. And this past week or two, I've done a little bit of work. I had equipment there at Rick and Nancy's place, and when I moved away from there, there's been a fairly dangerous washout on the county road, dropping the water that crosses the county road just west of the cattle guard where you turn to go into headquarters. The culvert was washed out right tight up against the lane of traffic, and it dropped 20 feet straight down. And last week I corrected all of that, filled it in, removed a bunch of rabbit brush, and rechanneled the water at a different angle and a not such a steep drop. So it will hopefully begin to heal a little bit, but we'll monitor it, and I need to place some loads of big rock to help the wash out a little bit. Yeah, we should still, as long as we stay snow free, be able to accomplish the connection for Marco on the 40,000 gallon system, the entrance water area, a few more erosion control items. Other items that I've been working on, I've made some significant changes at the gravel pit, moved some of my non-working equipment out and other equipment in, and I'm within millimeters now instead of feet and yards of being fully operational on road base and rock supplied at the ranch, instead of having to have people haul it from Scootumpaw or from town.
Hey, did you want to talk about that plug culvert up in Crawford real quick?
Oh, I just, when I was moving the big track hoe down past there, I just stopped and looked because I thought there, I know there was a culvert there, but it, the bottom probably 10 feet of that culvert was collapsed and buried. So I went ahead and dug it out, opened it up, cut off the bottom end of the culvert that was crushed, and so it can flow. It's still part of the problem of sometimes members adding slash and dirt and debris into washes or erosions, but not fully understanding what they're covering up or plugging off. I'm not sure exactly when that culvert was plugged the way it is, but there are. Go ahead.
I just was going to say, do you want to give the exact location of that, just in case people don't know?
It's It's the big wide Y in Crawford Canyon where you turn to go north to Michael Jordison's lot or Phil Hall's lot. It's where you turn left to go up into Gravel and Birch Canyon, or you turn right to go down toward Jerome Logan's lot and John Trentini's lot and the loop on around to go to Jennifer Shearer's or Dan Wirt's properties. That there's one big, very wide, open Y intersection. There's a large culvert, probably a 5-foot diameter culvert that brings water from the east side of the road to the west and south, but there's a second culvert that this second one has been buried, and it transitions basically north to south, and the north end, the basin had began to silt full, and the south end was completely buried over. Like I said, it was probably 6 to 8 feet of gravel and rocks and debris that completely covered it and collapsed it. So it's been that way for quite some time.
Larry, this is Dan. What would be the implications if that culvert had not been fixed?
The next big storm would begin going over the road and potentially damaging that road, you know, washing that road. I don't think it would have completely washed the road out, but it definitely makes it a lot rougher to cross. There are a few spots between that point and going back toward Meadow Canyon where water is crossing the road rather than staying in the side ditches and following the culverts. And so it makes it a bumpy ride, as you've probably noticed traveling to and from your property, that we just need to continue to do a little better job grading and maintaining the flow lines of the ditches and culverts to shepherd the water where it should cross. And if need be, add additional culverts. We've just because of budgetary restrictions, we need many more culverts to adequately handle, but we get by because we're dry enough that for the most, you know, the majority of the time we're fine, but when we do get big storms, then we're in trouble.
Also, I wanted to inquire about the condition of the ranch grader. I understand there was a tire problem. Was that resolved?
It is. It's fully operational now. This last, I don't know, week and a half, Brent and I picked up the old tire, spent a day fighting with it, taking the tire off the rim, which was a battle, and then mounted another tire on it and took it back to the ranch, and Brent put it on the grader, so it's 100% operational now, so it's ready to be put to work.
I understand those tires can be very pricey. Was this a new or used tire?
It was a used tire. Even a used tire, it cost me $300. And it took about that much time and effort to get the old tire off of the rim and the new one mounted on it. I got some help from one of our new members over in Slide Canyon that lives out at Colorado City. Ezra Black has a mobile mechanic shop, and I'd put a plug in for him. He's done some great work helping me on other equipment, but also is a great asset to the ranch. If anybody needs mechanical type work done, he has a mobile, full-service mobile truck, and could be a great resource for us there at the ranch.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
Dan, I do know that Cade went over and looked at some of the road areas that you had discussed, and I plan to be back over there also to look at it again and continue to tune up some of those areas.
Right. It's the problem is the road down to the lower 40, past the Shearer's lots, and My understanding is that the ranch will provide the grader and the labor, and I am perfectly willing to supply any necessary culverts.
Okay, appreciate that, Dan. We'll get back and I'll get with you personally on what and when we tackle that spot.
Okay.
Brent, you want me to go ahead with the other things I've got?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just a quick update. The check did come in on our Wildlife Mule Deer Hunting Association permit, and luckily we were able to maintain nearly what we did last year. So I believe the check, Michael would have to double check, but it was $14,000+, which really helps us out, and we'll hope to maintain that as long as we can. I had one other thing I wanted to bring up, and now the fire truck that Brent kind of coordinated and Bob and Justin Hedman arranged out of Provo City, I was able to pick up 2 or 3 weeks ago and brought to Kanab. The next day was when it rained and snowed and stormed a little bit, so I didn't want to just drive that fancy bright red truck out there to get all muddy, so it's parked in town at my storage yard. And it's a beautiful truck, well-equipped. My only concern was we need to decide exactly where we're going to put it and how we're going to protect it from pack rats on the interior and peacock poop on the exterior. So anyway, just to inform all the membership or whoever cares that the truck is in Kanab and can be taken to the ranch whenever we decide exactly where to park it and what to do with it. It'll be a good asset to have on hand. It's something that we would not want to fill up and worry about freezing and breaking important and expensive components. So my view would be that it's going to be a spring, summertime truck that we can fill up and have on hand when we do any controlled burning or anything we need it for. It's not, I don't want to mislead anybody to believing that we're going to end up with a Deer Springs Ranch Fire Department that's going to put out cabin fires. I would encourage everybody to continue to build defensible space, limb and trim, and take care of fires before they exist and get away from fires when they occur.
So I understand that was $500, which if that's true, that's an absolute steal.
That's what it was, Dan. In fact, right now you can go on an auction site and look at Hanksville City has the identical structured truck, bare bones, stripped down. I'm not even sure that it runs, but it's a stripped down version of this truck. No equipment, no hoses, no nothing on it. For $15,000.
Yeah, and I'm looking for an authentic antiquarian red firefighter hat helmet for Brent.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I don't have really anything else to add, Brent, and so I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, we can go to our areas of responsibility. Did Kate ever get on? He said he might be able to join. He was on a flight somewhere. But I haven't seen him. Larry, you've already talked about your stuff. Mike, do you have anything else?
Nope, I do not have anything else. Thanks, Brent.
Okay, Barry?
No, sir.
Okay, so Dirk and Barry don't have anything? What about Ben?
I'm here. I don't have any big questions or anything update after the last meeting. Kate did send me the map that was started laying out some signage at the ranch. I've checked into that, trying to get those. If anybody has a strong opinion of what should or shouldn't be done, contact me. I don't want to see any more signage than we need to have, but for safety and stuff, you know, we need some. And I had checked. I know there has been some made before already in existence with some direction and road names that has not been installed. I'm trying to get that tracked down first before we spend money to duplicate it. That's all.
All right. Well, thanks, Ben. Anybody have any questions to Ben about that? About the signage stuff? Okay, we're opening it up to the for the members. Any of you members got anything to say?
This is Michael Jordison. I have a request.
Okay.
I would like a copy of the reserve analysis. That's it. Whenever you get a chance.
Michael, this is Mike. The reserve analysis that we're going to be doing is going to take several months. So the intention is to do it correctly, very thorough, very detailed. So it's not something that's going to be available in the next month or two. And when we talked about it last time with all the board members, basically the thought process is that we're going to do all the work that we need to do, get everything ready to go, and present it at the annual meeting next year. I'm sure we'll definitely have information that we can share with everybody prior to the annual meeting. But in terms of having a formal presentation and discussion around the reserve analysis, the intent is to do that during the annual meeting next year.
This request starts the 90-day countdown.
May I ask what that is? Because I'm late. This is Sally. What's the reserve analysis?
So a reserve.
Very briefly.
A reserve analysis is looking at the potential costs of items that may need to be replaced or taken care of over the course, more capital expenses over the course of operations, so that we can verify that we, in good faith, have put aside enough money to take care of catastrophic losses or anything that takes place at the ranch. So we go through the process and evaluate what our costs are, so that we're not living paycheck to paycheck, so to speak. And
thank you. Thank you very much.
Ben, this is Dan.
Yeah.
There was considerable discussion about language for signs in the bylaws committee meetings. And so you might want to get with Cade review that discussion so that it's not necessary to reinvent the wheel. That discussion was centered around ways to mitigate the potential liability risks of the public using especially ranch roads. That might be helpful to ask Cade about those discussions.
Hey, I'll do that. Thank you.
Back to Michael Jordison's request that there is a 90-day, and we're certainly happy to provide you with a copy of what we have at that point in time. So
that's perfectly fine. Thank you.
Okay, other members, anything to say?
Just so I can complete my record real quick, Sally, what lot do you own, just so I have it in here?
I think it's 87.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. David and Sally Miller. Thank you.
Perfect.
Beautiful piece of land.
Great. We hope to enjoy it together with you guys for years and years to come. So
you bet. You bet.
Okay, if there's nothing else from the members, we've sent in, we'll have a newsletter coming out sometime before the end of the year. Kelsey's working on it, but this is her busiest time of the year, and so things have been submitted to her, and like I say, it'll be coming out before the end of the year, and I'm gonna be taking pictures for Barry today on a couple of things, and I'll be more than happy to share that with anybody who wants them.
Yeah. Brent, this is Ben. If you'd send me a copy, I'm curious.
All right.
So I presume a picture of the fire truck will be in the newsletter?
Yes, I included that. I included that in the newsletter in my portion. So the one thing you need to know about the fire truck is, Larry said there's a ton of equipment on it, so I'm going to go down and go through everything. And we probably will be able to sell off some of the stuff. Obviously, we can't use some things. Anyway, I'm gonna go down and go through everything. And then the other thing that it has, and we don't really know until we can put some water in it. But it's got some leaky valves. Those are easy to repair once we know the manufacturer the valve is. And so it only takes a few minutes per valve to fix them. So anyway, I'm pretty pumped about the fire truck. It was a good deal. All right, if there's nothing else, we can...
Looks like our next meeting is January 11th.
Yes, it is, at 1000 hours.
Okay.
And I assume we're planning on having that Zoom only?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, I move that we adjourn this meeting to January 11th, 2025, Zoom only.
I second it.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye, aye.
All right. Thanks, everyone.